Of all the great leaders of the Bible that we can read about and study from, perhaps few of them surpass what was accomplished by Moses. The Bible has a lot to say about Moses. In fact, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Over and over we read about this great leader of God's people from the Old Testament. Many stories are told about the man Moses. Children love to hear about Moses. We love to hear about Moses, and we think about all the things that were accomplished by this one man. Could you think of the magnitude of the task that was given to him to arise and to go to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh that the God of heaven demands that he let his people go? Could you imagine doing that? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 7 and verse 23 that Moses was about 40 years old when he went and visited with his people. Remember reading about that in the book of Moses, that he went and he visited with his people, and that's when he saw that his people, the Hebrews, were being mistreated, and he killed or slew one of the Egyptians, and he fled to a place called Midian. And there he met a man by the name of Jethro. He married Jethro's daughter. He married her. Anyway, he went back to Egypt, and he told Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. You remember that? The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 7 that Moses was 40 or 80 years old when he went and he talked to Pharaoh. Could you imagine that? That here's a man that was an humble man. He was a meek man. And he went to tell Pharaoh what God instructed of him. I wonder how many of us would do what God would have us to do, even when we thought that there was no way that we could accomplish doing that. When we pick up the Bible and we read the sweet commandments of God, how eager are we to say, I'm not sure that I can do them, but God expects me to do them. I'm going to give it everything in me. Are we that way? Here was a man that turned out to be such a great leader. No doubt God saw in Moses what Moses did not see in himself. And he goes forth to do the work that God would have him to do. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we read about all the examples of individuals who were faithful unto God. Moses appears among them. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, the Bible says, beginning with verse 23, rather, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not forbearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Again, the faithfulness of Moses. The Bible tells us in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy that Moses lived till he was 120 years old. Sometimes we may have it in our minds that the older we get, the less that we can accomplish in service to the Lord. That's not the case. Moses, again, 40 years old when he left Egypt, 80 years old when he returned, served God for the next 40 years and died at the age of 120. And the Bible says that his natural face or his physical strength was not abated, nor his eyes dim. And the Bible, to conclude that, says in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. What a great man. What a great leader. of God's people. I want us to think about another statement that is made in the book of Deuteronomy, or Exodus rather, and that is, as we think about a prophet like unto Moses. Remember reading about that? That statement, that idea, is found in at least three places in the Bible. At least three. You may know of more. Well, we first read about this statement in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. I encourage you to turn over there and read this with you, and we'll notice the other occurrences of it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Who was he talking about in this passage? There's no doubt you probably already know that. A prophet like unto Moses. If you turn over to the book of Acts chapter 3, it's nailed down for us who he was talking about. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 22. Acts 3, 22 and 23. You remember that Peter and John went up together to the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, Acts 3 and verse number 1. And that miracle that was performed, is this man that was lame and they healed him. And then it's stated in verse number 22, for truly Moses said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him ye shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among his people. Then you drop down to verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you away from his iniquity. There's no doubt that that prophecy that was given all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 18 was concerning Christ Jesus, the Lord. Furthermore, in Acts chapter 7, in verse number 37, as Stephen was preaching to the people, you remember that he lost his life for preaching the gospel? We'll begin with verse number 35. Stephen says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and to deliver by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, hear him shall ye hear. And Stephen preaches to them about Christ. There's no doubt about that. Many times the case is that people today say, well, we'll listen to Moses, we'll listen to the prophets of the Old Testament, we'll go back under that law, we'll pick the things that we like out of that law, but then turn around and refuse to listen to the very Son of God. And those passages, Moses, repeated by Peter and John, repeated by Stephen, says that God would raise up unto you a prophet like unto Moses. Him ye shall hear in what? All things. Not some things. Not in the things that are convenient. Not in the things that you like. But all things. There's no doubt about that. The fact that God speaks to us today by His Son, Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. And a host of other passages talk about that very idea. But I want us to think about this as we think about Christ, a prophet like unto Moses. And we think about all the things that were accomplished by Moses, and we look at his characteristics, we look at his attributes, and we've read those passages over and over, it seems, that Christ was like unto Moses. But how was Christ like unto Moses? In what ways was Christ like Moses? Do you ever think about that? And we read the passages and we believe them. We know that they're there by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But how was Christ like Moses? Moses didn't die on a cross. Moses didn't do a lot of the things that Jesus did. Likewise, Jesus didn't do a lot of things that Moses did. So how is Moses and Jesus similar? How can it be said by the Bible that Jesus would be like unto Moses? I want us to look at a few of those. If we're not impressed with what we can learn from the account of Moses, I think we're reading the Bible with our eyes closed. There's many things that we can learn, and we can learn from this statement. I want us to think about some of them. First of all, there's no doubt that Moses was a prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10, we looked at that verse that never so again was there a prophet like unto Moses raised up in Israel, whom the Lord knew face to face. A prophet just simply means somebody that speaks for another. Did Moses do that? Absolutely. God gave Moses the law over and over. God gave instruction to Moses, and Moses imparted that knowledge to the people. There's no doubt that Moses is a prophet. The Jews looked to Moses as being a great prophet. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were busy about teaching the law of Moses, and rightly so. That was the law under which they lived. And Jesus said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus lived under the Old Testament law of Moses. Right? Remember when he cured a man of leprosy? What did he tell the man? You don't go out and be publishing this abroad. Don't go out and be telling this. But you go your way, show yourself to the priest, and you offer those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto thee. Jesus lived under the law of Moses. Moses was a prophet. He spoke on behalf of God. In fact, the Bible says that God talked to Moses face to face. Now, God spoke to other people throughout the Bible. But he didn't do it that way. Not like he did to Moses. He did so through the instrumentality of various different things. Maybe the angel of the Lord came and gave a message to somebody. Maybe he did it through some of the other means and ways that we can read about Elijah and Elisha and some of the other ones that we can read, or through a vision or through a dream. But to Moses, God spoke face to face. A prophet. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus is a prophet. Remember that? Jesus fits the bill of being a prophet, a spokesman on behalf of God the Father. You'll read that in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 57. 15 and verse number 37. Jesus said, as he was doing those works and he was busy about teaching the people, you know, in verse number 44, they said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man, all these things?" I want to stop there and just give you a little quick little point. If you've been watching the news lately, you've been seeing this report of the writings coming out saying that Jesus was not a family man. Jesus did not have brothers. Jesus did not have sisters. You need to underscore that. The Bible refutes that idea. He gives us a list of those. But at any rate, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, "Listen, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Jesus spoke the things that God wanted him to speak and did the things that the Father gave to him. What about being a lawgiver? We understand that Moses was a lawgiver. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." What does it mean that Moses was a lawgiver? Did Moses make up the law and say, "This is the way that I want it to be"? He's just a dictator of the people of Israel? No. He received the law from God. And he delivered it to them, being a prophet of God, being a lawgiver. He gave them, he delivered that law to the people. It's sure that God, a great spirit to Moses, and Moses had great knowledge and was able to discern between good and bad and judge between what was right and what was wrong with the people. Moses was a great lawgiver. People see that today. They say Moses was a great lawgiver. We ought to go by the law of Moses. Do we not hear that today? It surprises me to no end that we live in such a society that many times the case is that people don't understand the distinction between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. There's people today that think that there was just one continuous law. The law was given to the children of Israel, and that law continued on and on and on. The law of Moses served or fulfilled its purpose, according to Galatians chapter 3. And it was done away with, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14. But Jesus is a lawgiver. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill what? The law of Christ." Jesus gave commandments to the people. There's no doubt about that. He taught the people while he was here. He continued to teach even after he was ascended back to heaven. But at that time, he did it through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So both of those things point out that Jesus is likened to Moses as he was a prophet of God, as he was a lawgiver, and gave people instruction and law. This is what you should do. In fact, we look at three chapters in the book of Matthew. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about teaching the people about how to be a disciple, what to do, what not to do. As he was busy about that. But there's some other ways in which Moses and Christ were similar. How that Jesus was a prophet like unto Moses. And that was that both of them were saved as a babe. Well, these are just pointing out some ways in which Christ and Moses were similar. You remember in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we read that Moses was saved as a baby. That there was that instruction that came forth from the king that all the babies, all the men, children, all the males were to be killed, destroyed. You read about that in Exodus 2, beginning with verse 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she bare him," or hid him rather, 3 months. "And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." Do you remember how this goes? That the daughter of Pharaoh, beginning in verse 5, saw him, and she took him, called him Moses, and then Moses' sister said, "You want me to go get one of the Hebrew women that she can nurse him?" And Moses was able to be nursed of his own mother. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was saved as a babe in Matthew 2, verses 13 through 18. Remember that Herod called the wise men. When did this appear to you? Where is it written where this Messiah was going to be born? In Bethlehem and Judea. You go and you search for him and bring me word again that when you tell me where he is, I can go and I can worship him as well. Well, that is just pretense. That's really not his intention. The Bible says that Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled about those things that they heard. And what was Joseph bidden to do by the angel of the Lord? "Arise and take the child and his mother and go down into Egypt and be thou there until I give thee word again." When Herod died and Archelaus' son reigned in his stead, Joseph was told to come up out of Egypt, and they dwelt in a place called Nazareth. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet that he shall be called a Nazarene. Remember that? Had to be delivered as a baby. But there's other ways in which they're similar. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 10. Again, the idea that Moses came as a peacemaker. is a prophet speaking on behalf of God. Well, it wasn't necessarily a physical man. He wasn't there to go in and rush in, deliver the people from Egyptian bondage by military might. But you let God's people go because God said to let them go. The same is said about Christ, Luke chapter 19 and verse number 42. If you'll turn there with me. Luke 19 and verse number 42. If thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. We talked about in the Bible class this morning about the fact that Jesus said, my peace I'll leave with you. Jesus was not a man that was given to be a brawler, given to fighting and striking and so forth. But he was a peaceful man. Again, he was commissioned by God, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, and Jesus was too, John chapter 5 and verse 30. The things that I'm doing the will of the Father. The things that He gave me to do, that's what I'm doing. The things that He gave me to say, that's what I'm saying. He came working miracles, Exodus chapter 7 and verse 20. Almost every child learns about those 10 plagues of Egypt that God brought forth, passed His judgment upon the Egyptians. Jesus came working miracles, John chapter 12. And verse number 37. John 12 and verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? When Peter was preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, he said, you men of Israel, Jesus, this man was approved of God by what? Signs, miracles, and wonders. Jesus worked miracles too. There was people who believed and people who did not. He came preaching deliverance, Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, as He instructed for God's people to be let go. Moses was not always readily received by the people. There was times when his life was threatened. They wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to do away with Moses. Didn't want to believe what he said, but he was a prophet speaking on behalf of God. Jesus, in like manner, Luke 4, 18 through 19, preaching deliverance by the message that he delivered. If you look at that verse, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to them that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What did he say in verse 21? This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's like unto Moses as their message was one of deliverance. Again, Moses was rejected by men. In Acts chapter 7, it's pointed out that they refused to hear Moses. Did they refuse to hear Christ? Absolutely. Acts 7, 51 and 52. You rejected Him. You did not receive Him since preaching to them. In Acts chapter 2, Peter points that out very vividly to them. Verse number 36, when he said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made both Lord and Savior. Put the needs of others before His own needs. There's a statement made in Exodus 32, 31, and 32. When Moses said, in essence, let it fall upon me instead of them. If this is what, don't blot them out, blot me out of the book of the living. In other words, God, let their sin fall upon me. Let me pay for the consequence or bear the consequence for what they have done. Remember that? Jesus is the same way. Put the needs of others before His own. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus tasted death for every man. Christ, a prophet like unto Moses. I want us to think about that for just a moment. The reading that was offered just a moment ago in Luke chapter 9, and that's not the only place that you'll find it, but in Luke chapter 9, as Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking about how he was going to die. Peter came up with this idea, let us build three tabernacles, he said. It's good for us to be here. Let us build one for Moses, one for you, and one for Elias. If ever there was a time that it was revealed from heaven that they should listen to Moses and forget about the teachings of Christ, right now would have been the time to have done it. But that's not what was said. People today need to open their Bible and read that and underscore that. And when we contemplate, do I listen to God? Do I listen to the prophets? Do I listen to Moses? Do I listen to Christ? Who should I listen to? This is my beloved Son, God said. Hear ye Him. In some things? No. In all things. Remember that? God would raise up a prophet unto the children of His people like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. They were to listen to Moses, and so it is today, this side of the cross, were to listen to Christ. Jesus said in John 12:48, that if we reject Him and receive not His sayings, that His Word will judge us at the last day. Romans 2:16 points out the fact that in the day of judgment, that God is going to judge men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. What about us today? We need to realize that we don't live under the law of Moses. It was useful. It had a purpose. Galatians 3 says, wherefore then serveth the law was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And in verse 16, the seed is referred to or identified as Christ. Taken out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Last week I tried to explain to a lady that if we still lived under the law of Moses today, I could not be saved and neither could she. Because we're not Jews. And the law of Moses was given to the Jews. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 17 points that out. But the prophet Jeremiah stated, God's word is saying, Jeremiah 31:31-34, that then I will establish a new law, I'll give a new law to them, not like the law that I made with their fathers when I brought them out of Egypt, but a new law. And I'll write it upon their hearts, their minds. And they'll not say anymore, let every man teach his neighbor, but they'll all know me. That's the law that we live under today. The New Testament law, the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1 and verse number 25. And if we'll obey the teachings of the New Testament law, our sins will be forgiven. We can become a Christian and serve God acceptably under that New Testament law and listen to Jesus in all things. What a great example of a leader we have in Moses. But we have such a superior example in Christ Jesus our Lord, don't we? Will we obey? Will we put the Lord first and become a Christian? Will we say, I want to serve God, I want to go to heaven in the afterlife? I'm going to read and I'm going to study and learn from His Word. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's there for our learning, Romans 15, verse 4. But we don't go to the Old Testament to learn how to become a Christian, do we? We don't go to the Old Testament to learn about the Lord's church, do we? We learn about that in the New Testament. And we become a Christian today the same way that they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. And here it is, very simply, to hear, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of our sins, make that confession before others that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe it? Willing to confess it before others? And be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38, to arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Acts 2:47. We encourage you to do that. Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen away and you've backslidden. You're not living your life right and you realize that you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. Our God is a merciful God. We're here today because of God's great mercy. But one of these days, those doors of mercy are going to be forever closed. No more opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. If we insist in your obedience, why not come forward right now?